Hello, 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 my dear friends. Thank you for tuning in to Season with Salt. I am your host, Dominique Beaumonte, and I just want to let you all know that it has been a while, and I'm thankful to all of you who have tuned in regularly to my podcast. And I want to let you know that God is still on the throne, and that He lives, and that He reigns, and that we should not be overwhelmed by the current status of the world, but we should trust God and just believe that no matter what is happening in the world, that He loves us and that He will not forsake us. I know that that might be very difficult to hear for someone who has perhaps lost a loved one or may be battling with illness, whether it be COVID-19 or any other illness. But just remember that in the spirit of Earth Day, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and that there is no disease that He cannot heal. There is no sadness that He cannot heal. There is no grief that He cannot heal. He is a God of the universe. And so trust Him, and I'm trusting Him for you, because we are certainly in a trying season. We are amidst a crisis that perhaps we have not ever experienced before in our lifetime. But the Bible lets us know that even though things around us change, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So praise God for Him not changing in an ever-changing world. The Bible also lets us know that there's nothing new under the sun. And that ought to be confirmation to us, a reminder to us, that even the things that we experience that might catch us off guard does not catch God off guard. He cannot be caught off guard. He cannot be tricked or surprised. He knows everything, and He even knows the desires of our hearts. He knows every need that we have. He knows the cure to every disease, and He will provide for us. Praise God. Okay. I just wanted to say that because a lot of times we get over anxious and overwhelmed by what's happening, and we need to focus on God's provision and God's power. This episode, actually, that's in line with what I want to talk about today, and that is this idea of obsession. And first, let me lean on Webster's dictionary to define what obsession is. Obsession, according to Webster's dictionary, is what we do when we haunt or excessively preoccupy our minds with something. We haunt or excessively preoccupy our minds with something. And I've been listening to people. I've been looking at memes. I have been talking to friends and family. And it has occurred to me that while COVID-19 coronavirus is a challenge, I think one of the bigger challenges that we have faced that has been sort of a detriment to our society is this idea of obsession. And the outcome of obsession tends to have an effect on certain people more than it does on other people. I'll offer an example. The obsession over the need for toiletries and things of that nature. When we obsess over those things and we go and fill our baskets with all the toilet paper that's left, we create a scenario where there might be people who have that need and they don't have access to it, right? And so what might feel like a health pandemic and a health pandemic related challenge becomes a household challenge, a personal challenge. And there are other challenges that are deeper than that. And so as we are continuing to navigate shelter in place, as we are seeing the government make changes and decide to open up states early, we really need to hone in on a way to be, right? We need to figure out productive ways to be so that we do not become victims of obsession. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk particularly about four things that we should certainly not be obsessing over. All right, number one, do not obsess over survival. Do not obsess over survival. I want to read to you Jeremiah 29, 10, and 11 in the Message Bible. It says, "This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I will show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Plans to give you the future you hope for." We cannot afford to obsess over survival. If it is meant for you to survive this season, this crisis, and it is God's purpose for you to survive, you will survive. The Bible tells us not to worry from day to day what we will eat and what we will wear, because God, just like He clothes and takes care of the things that we consider to be minute, He also takes care of us. We cannot afford to obsess over survival. What does that mean? How does that manifest? It manifests in the ways that we decide to navigate our everyday life. When we wake up in the morning, we cannot be so obsessed with survival that we do not take the time to enjoy our families, the things around us, the things that we already have. It is unwise to spend all of your time running to and fro to gather things that you think you might need, guns, massive amounts of toilet paper and water, all the things that the Lord does not want us to fill our baskets and our barns with and not trust in Him. When we decide to obsess over survival, we take our trust and we put it in the things that we purchase. We put it in the things that we buy. And what God is saying is, if you put your trust in things, then you do not leave room for me. I already have a plan for you. One of the things that we have to do every day is we have to say to the Lord, "Thank you for the plan that you have for me. And thank you, Father, for the strength and the ability to walk out that plan. And today, Lord, lead me and guide me in the direction of the things that you want me to do." And in those things, if we pray that prayer, we will prosper. Some of the things that we have decided to do instead of walk in purpose have taken the place of really us living fully in this life, right? The time that it takes to stand in the line at the grocery store for something that you don't need when you could be spending time with your family, the things that we are caught up in doing that take away from our remote work or the time that we spend complaining about survival or worrying about things that we cannot control. We cannot obsess about survival. We have to trust God. We have to believe that if God put us in it, then He will bring us through it. And we do not have the option of asking God to bring us out of it or take us out of it. We're in it. And really the true praise is that what God is bringing us through it. Right? Because sometimes we want to get out of stuff so quickly. And if we think about it, if we reflect on our life, some of the biggest lessons that we have learned in life have been at the result of God allowing us to stay in things so that we can experience His love and His favor. Listen, if you are alive and you woke up this morning, it is because God intended for you to experience this season, and He intended for you to prosper in this season. Well, I don't have all the money that I need. He intended you to prosper. Well, they furloughed me on my job. He intended for you to prosper. It's not an ideal situation, but God will not leave you nor forsake you. You will survive if God allows you to survive. Period. Number two, do not obsess over professional perfection. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, you might say in your heart, the power and strength of my hands have made this wealth for me. Verse 18, well, remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. What is the scripture saying? This is a principle around the ways that we work and garner wealth. This scripture is saying that we should not put our trust in our own ability, but we should thank God for the ability that he gives us to generate wealth. Well, if I'm concerned about professional perfection, I'm going above and beyond to prove something unnecessarily. I am worrying my way toward calling the boss every day to prove that I am working. I am concerned about employees, and so I'm doing extra things that are not necessary. I am concerned about my job and employment, and so I'm trying to outshine or throw other people under the bus. The principle that's being presented in this scripture is that if the ability to create wealth and to generate wealth comes from God, then we need not worry about trying to figure out what we're going to do with our own hands. We have to believe that God will take care of us. This scripture points to the fact that the promise of professional and personal provision and sustainability is because God made a promise. When he makes a promise, he will give us the ability so that that promise will come to fruition. And so when he says that he will not leave you nor forsake you, when he says that a cattle on 1,000 hills is his, when he says don't worry about provision, what he is saying is, I don't need you to worry about that because I made a promise to you, and the result of my promise is I'm going to give you the tools and the tips and the techniques that you need to survive this season. You don't have to go overboard. You don't have to overdo it. You don't have to make up things in order to feel like you are creating. You have to trust God for provision. Like, I can understand that in this season, especially in environments where people are being laid off, where people are being furloughed, we are anxious to prove our value and our worth in so many of these systems because we don't want to be the person on the chopping block, and I understand that. But even if you are the person on the chopping block, even if you do get furloughed, even if you do get laid off, you need to know that God will take care of you. And you need to know that just like he gives you the ability to generate wealth in the position that you're in, he will give you the ability to generate wealth in the position that you're not in. A couple of years ago, and some of you have heard me talk about this, I quit a job that the Lord did not, it was not his will for me to continue in. And he spoke that into my spirit. However, he did not tell me what the next job would be. And so I had to trust him. I had to let go of everything that I had depended on for stability and comfort. And I had to take a walk on the wild side. I had to walk with faith, in faith, through faith, and believe that God would provide for me, even though I didn't know where the money was going to come from or where the next job would be. God put in my spirit so many things that I could do. I built out my graphic design ministry. I was able to take on a lot of new clients and generate revenue. I had a car, and so I decided that I didn't want to drive people around in my car because it wasn't clean. Pray for me. But I decided that I was going to pick up and drop off Postmates. So I picked up and dropped off Postmates. The Lord provided for me in so many ways. He gave me the ability to make wealth. And what he demonstrated to me in that season is that I didn't need my employer in order for him to provide for me. All I needed to be was attuned to his word, attuned to the promise that he made, and then willing to do the work with my hands according to the ability that he gave me. So there's really no reason for me to worry. I know it's easier to say than it is to do. But God is saying in this season, don't worry about these systems. right? Now, this is not to say don't be a good employee. It's not to say don't work hard. But I think more importantly, we've got to learn to work smart, and then we have to work as though we are trusting God. We have to continue. We cannot get discouraged. We have to continue to do the work that we are called to do. We have to be steadfast and unmovable. We have to be grounded in our purpose in whatever work environment we're working in, even if it's a Zoom call. We have to be steadfast. We have to do what we're called to do. We have to do what we're paid to do. But we should not be so overly obsessed with being perfect that we end up doing things and taking our trust out of the hands of God. It's Him that gives us the ability to generate wealth. Do not obsess over weight gain. This is a season where food seems to be very much available, and all kinds of snacks. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about living healthy in this season. What I'm saying is that we should not be so overwhelmed with weight gain that we begin to discourage ourselves and to think negatively and to kind of drive ourselves in a hole of depression. There is the great potential that our lifestyle has changed drastically. We're not moving as much, perhaps, as we used to move if we are working remotely. If we are not working remotely and we're an essential worker, maybe there is not as much engagement in our workplace as there used to be. We are constantly around food within our comfort zone. It is difficult to go to the grocery store intermittently, and so when we do go, we fill our baskets with anything that we think that we might need so that we do not have to come back to the store every time we have a need. And so it's easy to become overwhelmed with the idea of weight gain. And what I think we should do is just be intentional about taking care of ourselves and living healthy in this pandemic. It is of utmost importance that we be concerned about our immune system. And the reality is that it doesn't make sense to wash your hands 59 times and wear a mask and gloves and then just eat cookies and cake all day, right? Because we need to be feeding ourselves with fruits and vegetables and things that make our immune system strong. We need to be getting rest. We need to be getting exercise. And we have to find creative ways to do that. I'm no stranger to weight gain. I think that a lot of people who knew me when I was very young knew that it was almost impossible for me to gain weight. Somewhere around 30, my body was like, bring the weight on. I don't know what it was. But what I had decided to do in this season was to challenge myself to walk 10,000 steps every day. 10,000 steps every day. And I have been faithfully doing that. And then I began to challenge my friends and my coworkers and people around me to also do it because it number one, encourages me to see when other people are doing it. And then other people are encouraging me as I continue to do it. And so I've been doing 10,000 steps. I haven't been lifting no weights or doing no running or nothing, but I have been making sure that every day, at the very least, I get those steps in. And I feel better, right? I've slept better. I feel a lot better. I've done that by, you know, talking when I take meetings over Zoom, like walking at the same time, making sure that each night after dinner I take a walk, making sure that if I'm somewhere and I'm working or I'm doing something that I'm not forgetting to kind of walk around and do things. Even if it's just walking up and down the steps a couple of times, like just really being intentional around those steps because I can do that. I can control how many steps I take every day. And there have been days when it is 9 p.m. and I only took 4,000 steps. And I just have to make myself go out and walk. You know, there's a lot of new music that's come out. I've been rocking out to Kier Shear's new album. I've been rocking out to Joe Douglas' new album. I've been rocking out to a lot of new albums and like just listening to them. And if you do two things at once, it takes your mind off what you're doing. My church is having a daily prayer call. Well, during those prayer calls, I walk and I pray for my neighborhood. I pray for the people that are in the neighborhood. And I'm focused on the prayer and don't realize that I'm getting 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 steps. And so it has changed my life and I feel so much healthier. Like I didn't say I feel skinnier. I said, I feel healthier because ideally, like once I'm able to get my immune system working, I'm taking my vitamins, I'm doing all the necessary things, my body is adjusting to that physical activity. The next step is stop the walking and start the running, right? And so I have thanked God for this season because I'm not obsessed about gaining weight. And I haven't necessarily made a lot of adjustments to my diet like I should, but I do know that every day when I get up, I am walking and I am trying to live healthy. I'm drinking the appropriate amount of water. I am taking care of myself to my ability, and I'm asking God to give me greater ability to take care of myself. And what I have learned is, because sometimes it's like, well, I can't go to the gym, so oh well. What I have learned is that I don't need a gym. Right? I can come up with ways to take care of my body and to make sure that I'm staying healthy in the absence of somebody else's room or system or building. Right? And God will give you the strength to do that. And so don't obsess over your weight. Don't be talking negatively about yourself. Don't participate in self-speech. Don't participate in posting memes. Instead of posting anything negative, just say, today I did 4 leg curls. I did 5 push-ups. Tomorrow I'll do 6. Because the more you get into that negative talk, the more your mind starts processing, yeah, you are fat. Yeah, you're not going to gain weight. Yeah, you are stupid. Yeah, you are eating too many cookies. You know what? Every time you eat a cookie, do 10 push-ups. Don't plan it. Just start working out. Start walking. Start being healthy. Call somebody on the phone that you know likes to talk, and then take your walk and put your Beats by Dre on, your earphones, your headpiece, and, you know, start doing it. And I use the Apple Health app that's already in my iPhone that was already charting my steps. All I had to do was realize what it was and kind of play around with it to get to know it, watch a couple YouTube videos, and I was set. And there are a lot of apps that chart walking and how many steps that you're taking. Set yourself a small goal and then let that goal grow. And then once you get back into the rhythm of work or whatever it is that life will bring us in the next couple of months, like you will have gotten into a habit of doing things, and it'll be difficult to break that habit or to go backwards. And so you can do something about it without obsessing about it. Do not obsess over weight gain, but be healthy. Finally, my brothers and sisters, do not obsess over false productivity. If you are like me, you love to be busy. And this season has produced a lot of opportunities to not be busy. And not being busy to people like me can sometimes feel like I'm not walking in my purpose and in my calling. So I get a lot of anxiety and start creating things to do. Then later on, I realized that I have not achieved any rest. And so I am hard on myself for that as well. What I have realized is that I don't actually have to do anything. And that's not something that regular day-to-day life has taught me. I have been the person that if I don't have anything to do, I'm going to create something to do. And that has resulted in a lot of wasting of time. I know that sounds crazy, because how can being productive be a waste of time? Well, you can get involved in things that don't matter, which brings added stress and added anxiety, and then you gotta bring yourself out of that, right? Like if you have to find a way, or you have to clean up messes that trying to be busy have created for you. or relationships that need to be restored as a result of meddling or being involved in things that don't have anything to do with you. And so you don't have to pick up the phone and call anybody and find out what's going on. You don't have to watch the news. There's just a whole bunch of stuff that you don't have to do. Sometimes you can just do nothing. And although I'm an introvert and I'm very comfortable with being alone, I have not ever really been comfortable with the quietness of what it means to be by myself. Like, I like to be by myself doing things, and I don't have to do things. And so what I am speaking against in this season is false productivity. You do not have to be obsessed with trying to do things. Like, take advantage of the rest. Really, what made me come to this conscious sort of reality is I thought about, okay, what if when this is all over, somebody asks you, you know, you had 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 2 months, or whatever it might be, to just rest and be at home and enjoy the things that you have. What did you accomplish in that realm? And you look back and say, oh my gosh, I didn't even rest. I didn't even do the things that I always wanted to do. And so I've been having those kind of feelings because I've been doing things, but they haven't lended to, you know, 3 months later, I'm gonna be like, thank God that I had that time, because in that time, I did something that really helps me to be more productive. I've done things for other people. I've done things for other people that I have not done for myself. And I think that in this season, although the Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing, it really is important for us to tap into a real productivity, something that leads to something, right? Like something that makes you feel good about the time spent. And the reality is that sometimes you don't feel good after you've helped people. Now, that sounds crazy, but people will make it difficult for you to help them. And so sometimes we get in those spaces because God just wants us to step back and to figure out what we can do to create productivity. I don't know who it was, but I was reading or listening to somebody talk about like the sanitizing or the cleaning out of their vacuum cleaner. I think it was somebody from my church. I can't remember. And even though it sounded trivial, I got to thinking about how cool and awesome that might be. And so I'm going to actually make a list of the things that I produced or that I did that have long-term impact in this season, right? And the other thing that I don't want to be doing is like talking to the same people every day. Right? Like, you get used to people, like, you know, there are people that I have to talk to, that I have to communicate with, but there's some people that I haven't talked to at all. I should take advantage of this season to really connect with other people other than the people that I have to be connected to. And so it's one thing to be busy. It's another thing to be productive. And so I'm warring against being busy, and I'm focused on being productive in a way that I'm proud of, and that I can look back on and be like, you know what? Like, I really did do a deep clean in my house, and I really organized my books. And because of that, life is easier now in that regard. And so don't be obsessed with being busy. Don't be obsessed with the false sense of productivity. Find ways to rest, to enjoy what you have, and really to strengthen your relationships with God, to strengthen relationships with your family, folks that you haven't talked to in a while, etc. So hopefully today's podcast, you've listened to it, you've enjoyed it, you have decided in your heart that you're not going to obsess about survival, professional perfection, caretaking, weight gain, and fast productivity. If we can do that, like, we can create happier communities when we come back together. And to be frank with you, we are still together. We just have had to find a new way to be together. And so God bless you. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to share it with your friends and family. This podcast is available on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on a lot of different platforms, and I just want to share it with you. You can also go to my website, DominiqueBomonte.com, and check out what I have going there. I'm going to be getting to add more and more content as the days go by, and that's something that I'm happy about and that I'm proud of. I love you all, and remember to season your life with salt. God bless you.